of adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Dad. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
Brought to you by the Wonderland Tourism Bureau. We're all mad here.
Welcome to this podcast. Welcome. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
And we have new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. So why not get an annual pass to this podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast from? Simply search for the Obscure Disney Podcast or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com. So I have no idea where to find us.
Apparently. Yeah, we're not even sure what we're doing here.
Right? We have no idea.
Yeah, it's that time of year again where we get to watch weird Disney movies.
Yeah.
We're doing a little of experiment trying to get Steve to see all the animated theater released Disney movies that they've put out. He hasn't seen any of them, so it's a constant struggle.
Right. Well, especially the 1940s, 1940, or the 1950s versions of the shows, right? Like, not many people have seen all of those shows.
They're not considered classics, for
no,
sure.
No, of course not.
Because, I mean, you look at the original, you look at Snow White, most people have seen that. You have Dumbo and Bambi, which are super iconic, and things like that. However, you know, you get into, like, the war years, and they get a little cloudy and a little less memorable.
Right. World War II was a hard time on everybody.
It was a tough time, for sure.
Especially animation companies. Right.
No one talks about the horrible time that animation studios had during World War II.
Right.
It's not discussed.
What about their issues?
Right. But Disney, we're finally wrapping up with the weird clip show things, which I'm not a fan of, where they just take shorts and mush them all together into a feature, quote-unquote feature-length film.
Yeah.
So we watched The Three Caballeros, which is okay. Not memorable.
Legitimately not memorable, because I don't remember even watching it.
Well, to be fair, in true Steve fashion, you were up and down and doing other things while it was going on.
The entire time.
It's kind of based around Donald Duck's birthday and his friend Jose that we met in the last clip show.
Wake up, Jose!
Not that Jose. Sends him presents about South American countries.
Okay.
And then we also meet Panchito, which is the third caballero.
Ah, yes. I do remember meeting Panchito.
Panchito. And they are the animatronics at the end of the Mexico Pavilion ride the three caballeros.
Yeah. They're cute. I like them.
It's almost like a Latin-flavored Fantasia mixed with Mary Poppins type stuff, because they do the animation with the live action.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like this was one that was also backed by the U.S. government, right?
Oh, was it?
Through that kind of outreach program.
Yeah.
I think it was also funded through that.
You can tell we did a lot of research, because it was super interesting.
Well, we did. We did when we watched it a couple weeks ago, but, like, it was hard.
It's not a great one. And honestly, to be fair, neither is Make Mine Music, which is the one after that.
Yeah.
Once again, they honestly did take things that were supposed to be in Fantasia that didn't make it and put them into these.
Oh, did they really?
So you'll have, like, some really slow musical parts with, like, birds flying around and things like that.
Huh.
That, you know, they're pretty.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily something that you'd be like, hey, kids, let's watch this, you know?
No, but they could be artistic. And I know a lot of people that really love Fantasia.
Oh, Fantasia is great. But they really kind of kept the things in Fantasia that were working.
Good.
Yeah. I hate to say it.
They kept the good stuff.
They kept the good stuff in Fantasia. And then, you know, maybe the intern's cartoons got put in to make mine music. I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah. Not to say they aren't pretty, because they're all super pretty and well animated. It's all fine.
That's true, but compared to even some of the earlier ones that we've already watched, the storyline seemed to be kind of lackluster. The shorts that were in there didn't seem to make a lot of sense either, really, did they?
Well, the shorts, they range from completely forgettable to horribly sad. You know, like, they do, like, Casey at Bat, which is a really famous poem.
Oh, yes.
There's no joy down in Mudville because Casey has struck out. It's a, you know, it feels almost like something that would be on the Disney Channel, like as like a interlude between shows,
yeah,
type thing.
Yeah.
You know, Make Mine Music had a really sad one though, about a whale that could sing opera music. Do you remember this at all?
No.
He's a whale, like a real whale out in the ocean, and he can sing opera, and people keep on hearing him and wondering what this is all about. And then this crazy guy decides that he's swallowed an opera singer, obviously. And so he has to go out and save the opera singer from the belly of a whale.
Oh, I don't like where you were going with this.
No, it doesn't end pretty. So he goes out to the ocean to find this whale, who then reveals that he has multiple, vocal cords, so he can sing in harmony with himself. So it sounds like a group of people singing.
Huh.
And the crazy person decides that he has obviously swallowed multiple opera singers, hence why he can sing this way. And we have a whole montage of how excited this whale is to sing on the stage, and how everyone loves him and they're showering him with praise. And the cartoon ends with the crazy guy harpooning the whale, killing him, and the narrator going, "He'll never sing. Well, he's only singing in heaven now," and they show the whale up in heaven singing.
Ooh.
What kind of horrific cartoon is that?
Wow.
I mean, I guess it shows the dangers of allowing people with crazy ideas to make just decisions, I guess.
Maybe.
You know, if this crazy person decides that this whale has obviously swallowed opera singers who are, instead of calling for help, singing opera out of a whale.
Uh-huh.
We should not allow him to go out and shoot the whale.
It's a much larger metaphor for life,
I guess.
Hmm.
It was really sad. Honestly, yes. It was just kind of a depressing cartoon. Which, you know, cartoons don't have to be super happy, but gosh, if that one wasn't sad.
And with that, Song of the South.
Right. Now let's get really happy and talk Song of the South. This is really, no pun intended, the black sheep of the Disney company, specifically just here in the United States, though. They've released it more times out of the United States than they have in.
Okay.
I find interesting.
That is interesting.
And it's just pretty much considered the racist Disney movie, even though Disney has done other very racially insensitive things in other films. This one was the most controversial and the most vehemently hated.
I've heard you say this before.
Yeah. And it was...
Was it at the time, do you think? At the time when it was
released?
A lot
of it had to do with the timing, I think. It was right after World War II. The world was struggling in general, and the racial tensions in the United States were not great.
Yeah.
Not that they ever are. I always feel like it's an ongoing conversation, you know.
Apparently.
But this movie, I tried to look into what people found the most offensive about it.
Okay.
And the most that I could come up with was just the depiction of post-Civil War slaves being happy with their lot in life as slaves.
Yeah.
They didn't like this concept of the slaves being like, well, we're free now, but we sure do like living here anyway, so we're going to stay, you know?
But I don't know if I really got that feeling from it necessarily. Like, they didn't, just because they didn't look to be upset, you
right.
know, and it probably is not it's definitely not an accurate position or representation of what the time period was.
Right.
It's definitely not accurate.
No.
But that's what we love about Disney in a lot of ways, is that we get this, you know, even the phrase Disney night, Disney vibe version of stuff, you know,
right?
Like, that's a very common thing to hear. So like the fact that they did it for this shouldn't be that shocking for people.
Yeah. But don't you don't want to gloss over something so horrific as slavery by being like, but they sure were happy about it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really Disneyfy the Holocaust. Not, you know, right. to make a comparison. I would never want a Disney movie.
I don't know. They taught us how to win.
Well, what?
In the Victory Through Air Power show.
Oh, that one.
We learned all about the Holocaust.
Right. But they didn't do like a story
right.
of, you know, the Holocaust. That would be terrible.
No, that's true.
And you don't want to make light of a situation that was a really a, not a good period
you don't.
For a lot of people.
You don't. But given all the hubbubaloo that people have had with this show, after, when watching it, I was expecting really the worst.
Right.
And I could not, you know, I was like, well, that seemed like nothing. I wouldn't have even known that there was issues
right.
with this show had I not been told.
And, you know, we've said it before, but we're two white guys, so it doesn't really matter if we find it offensive, because it's not really depicting completely us fair. In an offensive way.
Well, and I thought that the uncle was really sweet.
Nice, he was a great character.
Like, the parents were the villains in the show.
Right. So
those awful people.
Since most people haven't seen it, the basis of the story is a mother and son go to live with a grandparent in post-Civil War South.
Yeah, Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, it's very Gone with the Wind.
It has very
except,
much that vibe.
Like you said, Disney-fied. And the little boy basically learns life lessons through Uncle Remus, who is a slave, telling him stories about Br'er Rabbit, a fictional character, right? Which most people know. They know Br'er Rabbit because of Splash Mountain.
Uh-huh.
Which I find really interesting that they decided to keep that in there. But so this whole show is kind of like a day-to-day, you know, turmoil on a plantation in the South with a little boy learning lessons from Uncle Remus.
Yeah.
Right.
And now that you say that, I totally didn't even put two and two together that he was a slave the whole time.
Right. They never use the word slave or servant or
and
help.
She did.
They don't say any of those words.
No, they don't. And then the woman of the house was so kind and nice to him.
Yeah.
That, yeah, I thought it was just her best friend.
Yeah. And I think that's what people were
upset about.
Uncomfortable with, is this depiction of the benevolent white people and the happy slave. It just isn't accurate, you know, and so they weren't happy about it.
That's fair.
And, you know, the little life lessons learned through the Br'er Rabbit thing is fine. They do have that questionable story about Br'er Rabbit is saying, how do you do to people? And they're saying, fine, how are you back, you know, or whatever. And then Br'er Fox gets this grand idea to make a person out of tar.
Nope, that's enough.
Yeah. And that's where you're like, oh, that phrase really isn't, it isn't right. modern. It isn't friendly. People use it, you know, derogatively. And so, you know,
that part was bad.
There are things that have aged poorly.
Yep.
And there were things at the time that weren't okay at the time. You know, everything is just kind of iffy.
That's fair.
But then, you know, they like to pretend like the movie didn't happen. And like we said, I didn't find the movie to be particularly racist, other than obvious, you know, those things. But, you know, it's very much like the crows in Dumbo, where those characters are treated very well. They're not shown as being stupid or lazy. They're shown as being very wise and helpful, you know? And so I prefer to look at it from that direction.
That they were painted in a positive light.
Yeah.
That's how Disney chose to express them. And maybe that help the world to accept something that they weren't unwilling to at the time, maybe.
Mm.
Because overall, I thought the movie was super cute.
Yeah.
Enough, you know.
It... And just to be clear, the animated sequences are very short. and few and far between. They don't really...
BTW, y'all. It wasn't even animation.
Yeah, they don't show a whole lot of that. The most of the story is in live action about this little boy and him making friends and enemies and dealing with livestock. It's a weird... It's a weird movie. But even, like we said, at the time, it was not well received at all. They had the premiere right here in Atlanta, which I found really interesting.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Walt was there for the opening, but he gave his opening speech and then immediately left because he did not want to see what the reaction in general was going to be.
Oh, Walt Disney left.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the main character, the gentleman who played Uncle Remus, I should have his name in front of me, but I don't. He wasn't even able to go because there wasn't a hotel in Atlanta that would rent a room to an African-American person.
Oh, it's so sad.
So
how disgusting.
It was still a yucky time period.
Yeah.
And I can see why the black community, the African-American community didn't feel supported by this.
Right. That's fair.
They were very anti this movie. And really, you have to respect their wishes at that point when it's a movie about them.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And it's based on a lot of their stories and their personalities. So, you know, everything with a bit of a grain of salt, this movie is very polarizing. People hate it. People love it. People think no one should see it. People think everyone should see it. You know, yada, yada, yada. But Disney can't really sweep it under the rug because they have Splash Mountain at so many of their parks.
Right. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay.
And they use the song everywhere.
My, oh my, what a wonderful day.
Yeah. And it's, you know, the question is, how much of it are we willing to acknowledge and how much of it are we unwilling to acknowledge? How much of it is okay to talk about right. And how much of it isn't? And like we said, we aren't authorities on racial tension, you know? Like,
yeah, ain't that true?
We are, you know, just two opinions in a sea of opinions. So I don't pretend to say that since it's not offensive to me, everyone should see it because it's not just my opinion that matters, right?
Sure, and this is where we get to say it's great art when people have different opinions on something, right?
It definitely sparks conversation.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I worry about people forgetting about this film and what the greater conversation was, because doing the research on it myself, I didn't know how polarizing it was at the time even. Mm. I'd always heard it spoken in hushed tones. Oh, we don't watch that movie. Oh, it's terrible. You know? Right. And so, like you said, you expect something groundbreaking and, you know, people in blackface or something really offensive.
Gosh.
And then you see it and you're like, oh, well, that's not quite what I was expecting. It's been built up and built up.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, maybe we went in with expectations, I guess. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, I'm glad it was an easier watch than the other two, you know?
I found Song of the South easier to watch than Make Mine Music.
Yeah. And people like the other one that Donald's in. Because of that, he's in the Mexican Pavilion and also in Small World, right?
Is
that
right? He is in Small World, yeah.
And it's basically that same scene from there.
And they use him in the Christmas Castle show. They do I Wanna Wish You a Merry Christmas. What song is that?
That one.
That one. Why can't I? Feliz Navidad, that's what it is.
Yes.
So they have Panchito in there too from the Three Caballeros.
So the real question is, the next show, is it a fun one?
Next one?
I have no idea.
I think it's either Ichabod Crane and Mr. Toad.
Oh, that would be fun.
I think is the next one. Don't quote me on that.
Mr. Toad.
Yeah.
Are there fiber optics in the show?
There are no fiber optics in that show. So, you know, now that we're moving away from the dark ages of Disney and
World
honestly, yeah, the dark ages of history in general. We'll be getting into hopefully a few more chipper films.
Seriously, this had a 2 month delay because we're just like, do we really have to watch these two?
Ugh, I don't want to watch it. And then after we watched it, we thought, we don't have anything to say about that even, you know, like, what do you say?
Seriously.
And then we got the pleasure of watching, you know, Song of the South, and then what do you say to that one too?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a good conversation starter. It's worth seeing, I think, in my opinion. Make a decision for yourself.
Sure.
If it's offensive or not.
If you can find it, we had to download it online.
Right. It's not something that's readily available.
Not on Netflix.
It's Could you imagine if that cropped up on Netflix? That'd be really interesting.
Or if they're going to put it on the new Disney catalog streaming service that comes out. Gosh, I wonder if
they
do.
Like, they should have their entire library on that.
That was the rumor that they were going to do.
Oh.
So, it'd be interesting. Yeah. We'll see.
I would love to hear someone's opinion on this that's not me, because sometimes in an echo chamber you just hear your own voice.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested to hear what other people thought about the movie in general.
Please. Right? Don't email us though.
Don't email us, because
send us Disney.
Yeah. Let them know what you think about it. But it's like I always say, it happened on one of them zippity doo dah days. It's one of those days where you can't open your mouth without a song just jumping right out. But until next time, follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger Disney point to the exit. I will see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast.